We have the honor of being with Father Tom Hart, the Theology Department, and one of the topics we thought would be very apropos for Lent would be the topic of listening. Hodie audite, today listen, or listen now. Father Tom, what would St. Benedict tell us today in our contemporary society?
Well, I think that last night I was going through my office and I came across this picture of St. Benedict, and somebody decided to portray him as, he's usually portrayed as an old man, you know, but this one portrays him as a young man, and he's fleeing Rome. Because he started out as a student, you know, and there he is in the midst of all the big shop teachers and all the rest. And there's an expression on his face like, I got to get out of here, because what he's seeking God, he's not getting there just in the intellectual life. And so then he goes off to a place where he can experience some silence and to listen to the voice of God. So I think with listening, it's very hard to do in our culture because we've created this culture of noise. You can't get away from it. There are days when I'm grateful when our electricity goes off, because then you experience a true silence, because then even the white noise, as it's called, you know, the buzz of electricity, of refrigerators, of all that kind of stuff, so even if we were to go to our rooms or to wherever we live and not say a word for a day, we would still be bombarded with noise.
Yes.
And in our day and age, it's difficult or next to impossible to get away from it. So I think St. Benedict's advice on listening is more apt and more needful for the human soul than it ever was. So there.
What happens to people when they're not good listeners? Is this a problem for their life?
Well, I don't think we're raised in our culture anyway to be good listeners, because we're in America anyway, we're almost raised to be extroverts, and we have to do all the talking. I was on the plane coming back from the West the other day, and this one woman got on, and she didn't have one moment of silence from the minute she got onto the plane, and she's used to being talkative and loquacious and all the rest, and that was her personality. But anyhow, we're so used to having to be put on the spot to say something, to know everything, and I think what St. Benedict says is to develop a posture to accept what God has to teach us. We want to listen to what God has to teach us, and that requires us becoming quiet and listening. You know how frustrating it is when you're trying to talk to someone and you know they're not listening to you.
Yes.
And not to anthropomorphize God too much, but I wonder how God feels when he's trying to answer our prayers, but we won't give him a chance because we're too busy doing all the talking.
Does the type of listening that you're talking about right now, does it involve only the ears? Or is this like awareness that you're talking about? Listening with the ears, but also seeing and focusing and getting, you know, picking up on what's really happening somehow in a human context.
Well, I think listening first starts with our ears, but it's interesting that St. Benedict says listen not just with your ears, your three-dimensional ears, but with the ear of your heart. Oh. And he's speaking with a kind of intuitive listening, that sometimes I can hear you, I hear what you're saying, but you might be telling me more than just words. And I think that's even magnified when we talk about how God listens to us. So in fact, St. Benedict opens his rule with the command, listen. Listen, my son, these are words of advice from a father who loves you. And he said, listen with the ear of your heart. And one time these words came home to me in a powerful way. I was invited to speak to the Harrisburg Diocese Council of Catholic Women. And I was one of the only males in the room. There were 500 women. And they asked me to speak about the principles of Benedict in spirituality. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm there talking to these women. And I say, listen with the ear of your heart. And it hit me, if you listen to men and women, the wives often say, what would a man know about listening? And I had 500 female heads nodding in agreement, you know. And so there's something about our Y chromosome that makes it harder for males to listen. I don't know. But St. Benedict says to listen with the ear of your heart. It includes listening interiorly, to listen to everything. In the old monastic spirituality, they talk not about just the silence of the tongue, because at some point you have to shut up in order to listen, but the silence of the ears in order to get rid of a lot of the external noise so you can be more focused. In fact, not unrelated to listen is the idea of obedience, meaning obaudire, which gives the impression of when you're talking to someone, you lean in to really listen. I want to really listen to what you have to say. And this idea of obedience, I wish we had a different word for it in English, because it's come to mean some stupid things for people when they hear it. But obedience, from a Benedictine context, is fabulous, because it means I'm listening to everything that you're saying, but also your feelings and the spirit of the whole thing. And anyway, but the silence of all the senses, the silence of the eyes, that is, you know, we're a very visual culture anymore, and we're bombarded by advertisements, by television, by billboards, by everything. Silence of the body. We're so on the go all the time that we can't sit down and relax.
So the kind of listening that you're talking about isn't at all passive. In fact, it sounds like it's the way you're talking about it in a Benedictine context. Listening is a form of service or to another person or a means of expressing your commitment and willingness to really be there for that person. Is that it?
Absolutely. I mean, how many spouses complain, you know, we're not listening to each other. And that's the source of a lot of problems in married life, because we're not given the skills, I think, to be deep listeners. And I think for St. Benedict, you know, his advice is as sound as it ever was. We need it more than ever. How many people are going on to Oprah and Dr. Phil because they want someone to listen to them?
Yes.
I know, some time back I read Joseph Pieper's book, Leisure. He talks about gazing, and in the context of contemplation, that it's a gazing. And then he says that really to celebrate life, this is what is at the heart of it, that we gaze upon something.
Yes.
And then you have this idea of our name in German, you need to drink in, to absorb. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, I'm not that familiar. I came across Joseph Pieper's book this summer, and I was hoping to have the leisure to read his book on leisure. But other things got in the way. But anyhow, when you mentioned the word gazing, I'm not sure what he means by it, but I know with our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, they're very familiar with that in terms of wordless prayer, that they often do that in their liturgy with their icons, where the icons are what they call them, a window into heaven, you know, that I'm not worshiping that icon, I'm venerating it in order to bring me to God. And they practice this custom of gazing, where you're not saying anything, but you're simply gazing and meditating on the icon. You're not saying any formal prayers. It's almost like you're listening to St. Paul, who says, we do not always know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays within us with sighs too deep for words. And the sense of gazing and just appreciating is almost like when you're in a loving relationship. You don't need words. All you need is a glance to know of the reassurance that I love you to death. I don't know what that means, but I think that that's the way God looks at us, and I think he wants us to love him in return that way.
You work with young people a lot today. As a professor, they say that young people are different today, that they can hear in the midst of a lot of noise, and in fact this point seems to be made in this new movie, The Class, this French movie that has just come out and is making the rounds of the theaters, where two teenagers are in a situation where none of the adults think the teenagers are hearing anything, and they find out later that the teenagers heard everything.
Yes.
What about this? Are people relating? Are young people relating to noise just differently than older?
Yes, I think so. And it used to frustrate me because the 18-year-olds who are sitting there in front of us now were born after 1990. Okay, so they were raised with computers. They were raised with all the radios and TVs that we're used to, but also then with cell phones came on the scene, and now instant text messaging. Sometimes I see them. They're supposed to be. These young people are experts at multitasking.
Uh-huh.
They have five different things going on at the same time. And they'll be in class, and they'll be text messaging while they're taking notes. And at first I used to say, would you please stop text messaging? There are some teachers who go so far as to throw them out of the room if they're text messaging. Okay. Now, I'm not as severe as that, but I say, would you please stop text messaging? And they go, okay. But then, it's like in one ear and out the other, as it were. And I've discovered that they are listening, but they're listening in a way that I can't do.
Yes.
Because they've sort of grown up with it. They're text messaging, they throw a little message out there, and then they get back to the note-taking, and they're paying attention. And it's amazing. And a lot of people don't give them credit for that. And
yes.
I've learned that there's more going on with them, than meets the eye.
This might be the generation gap of our time. What do you think?
I think so. But I love them to death, and they're a new breed. Every generation, they say, is a new breed. But one thing about this generation, I forget what study it was. It was the Pew Forum or Lilly Group or one of those groups that does studies, that many of them would not know what to do with silent time. They're not used to it. Why would you want to be alone?
Yes.
Why would you want to have silence? And for them, a lot of them, that's like the strangest idea, like it's from Mars or something.
Right.
And so that's what I find intriguing, that they work in groups. They travel in groups. They socialize in groups, even date in groups,
Yes.
And that I cannot comprehend yet. But some studies are showing that the 18-year-olds, they look at you like you're from the moon. Why would you want silence? In fact, I was chaperoning a retreat not long ago for some students. And they had music on 24/7. The music was still on even after they had gone to bed. And they just are used to being surrounded with sensation. And I said, well, that's the way they are, and if they can go to sleep, that's good. But I think we need to, St. Benedict says to listen to the young, and rather than judging them or saying, what's wrong with you, you should enjoy some silence, I have to stop myself, because that's my instinct to want to correct them. But St. Benedict says, listen to the young, because sometimes they have something to teach us that we're not paying attention to. And so I think they're trying to teach us something that I don't know what it is yet, and maybe I'll never know. But I do know that all of them are on a spiritual quest of one type or another. And some of them, they're not sure where they're at with religion and Christianity or whatever, but I don't think there's anyone, any student I've met who is not on some type of spiritual quest. They're listening and yearning for something.
Thank you. On that note, we will conclude and leave you with lots of thoughts.